this plague, the sickness that's coming, this demonic activity we're going to read about that's coming, is being withheld, and it's fixing to come down and usher in toward Israel. It says it's bound for a moment to kill 1/3 of men. That's pretty scary. You know, we've talked about some of these numbers before and these percentages of how people are wiped out and how people are killed. We're probably down. The population, I mean, this is obviously rough. We're guessing. But at this moment where we're at right now, the population of the world from the beginning of the tribulation period with the rapture of the church, Christians are taken out. Then you have all these other plagues. These other things are going to happen and people are going to die. They're going to be martyred. Then those that are not martyred, those who are ungodly, a lot of them are going to be killed by a lot of these things. You're down to about half the population of the world at this point in about 3.5 years. Let that sink in for just a minute. What is it, 7.8 billion people on the face of the earth right now? Some thereabouts? If we estimate, you know, even after the rapture, still about 7 billion or so, and then we have these percentages, chunks that we take away those that are martyred, numbers, multitudes they can't even count that are going to be martyred. Then you have those that are going to be dying during all these things that are going to be going on. You're going to cut it down to about 3.5 billion people. I couldn't imagine what it would be like for the world to literally lose half of its population in about 3.5 years. But that's where we're at. This is chaos and destruction and death like the world has never seen, nor will the world ever see this again. Thank God we're never going to see it again. I mean, isn't that good? Let's pause for just a minute and think about that. Isn't it good that this is going to be it? After this, it's no more. No more of this. No more tribulation. No more problems, no more suffering, no more pain. That when this is over, this is it. Once this is over, it's it. If we can endure that, you know, it's like going, well, it's not like going to the doctor and getting a shot, but if you know you're going to get a shot, what? I don't know if you're like me. I'm paranoid around a needle. Some people want to watch. Some people want to hold the sleeve up and, you know, I pass out. I don't want to see it. I want to have earphones in, and I want to be watching a cartoon on TV, and hopefully I won't really know what you're doing over there, you know. But it's like dread builds up till you actually, and but once the shot's over, then you go, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. You know, I got my COVID shot, and you couldn't hardly tell they actually gave you the shot because I was already dreading round two. I forget which one I got, the Pfizer, so it ended up with 2 shots. I said, well, that's great. I got to come back and get another one, you know. So I was dreading all that thing. But once it's over, it's over. And I'm thinking when we get to this point to where this tribulation is hit, we can't imagine what it's going to be like. You know, we're reading, we're studying it. We're trying to put it in our little, I'm trying to put it in my little pea brain what it's going to be like, but I can't really get it. I can't really get what this is all going to be about. But one day it's going to be over. It's going to be over. And after that, everything's going to be wonderful. After that, it's going to be beautiful. After that, you know what it's going to be? After that, it's going to be what God intended it to be the first time before we messed it up. That's what it's going to be. God intended for the Garden of Eden to be this. But obviously, He knew that man was going to mess up. He knew Eve was going to eat. He knew she was going to give to Adam and he was going to eat. He knew sin was going to reign. He knew we were going to be born with that tendency and that carnal nature and disobey God. But one day it's going to be like God intended it to be. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. But we still have to understand and know that this day is coming. And I've got some scripture that I wanted to read and just kind of highlight the thought of why these things are happening. You ever really wonder, why has it got to be 7 years of destruction like never before? Why can't God just blink and everything just be done and it be over? And all the bad people die and go to hell, all the good people, you know, why can't we just start? Why has it got to be this way? Isaiah 2, verse 7 through 9 says, their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of, and here's the word, is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore, forgive them not. Jeremiah 1:16, I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worship the works of their own hands. So God is making this statement of reminding us the reason why this judgment is coming is not because God is a mean God and wants to be cruel to people and just punish people for 7 years, but God has pronounced judgment on the world because of the sinfulness, the idolatry, the pride, the greed, the selfishness that man has destroyed, is trying to destroy everything that God intended to be good. Man is making it bad. And that's why God is going to pronounce judgment on this world, and it's going to come down to where it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in a couple of days. It's going to be 7 years. So at the end of those 7 years, everybody's going to know exactly why the world is suffering the way the world's going to suffer, because our own sin brought it on us. Our own rebellion, our own selfishness brought this world to the place that it is. And it has to do with redemption, right? We talked about that before. We talked about this book of redemption. What's it all about? And we'll get into that, I think, perhaps when we look at the little book near the end of in chapter number 10, if we get that far. It's about redemption. God's plan and the reason to go through all of this is because God wants to redeem not only His people, He wants to redeem the world. He wants to redeem everything. I've got three separate types of sins that I want to read, and I want to read God's response and judgment to those three different sins out of Romans. I think this is interesting, and again, this kind of describes why the world is going to go through such a terrible time. What is it in the heart of man that's going to cause such chaos and such disaster? Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 24 first says this, because that when, and here's the phrase, they knew God, they glorified not as God. Even though they knew God, it's not talking about people that are saved here. Somebody that knows God as Savior, knows Christ as Savior, they may not always obey Him, but they're going to honor Him as being their Savior. But He's saying they knew God, they knew of God, they were aware of God, they were convicted by the Spirit of God, so they were made aware of who Christ is, but they didn't worship Him as God. They never received Him or accepted Christ as the Savior. They rejected Him. So that's the first sin. That's one of the first problems that we have in the world today. They knew Him, but they didn't glorify Him as God. Neither were thankful, but because vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And here's what God's response is to this first sin. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The phrase being this, God gave them up. That's pretty scary to think God gives somebody up. Wow, is that really a just God? Is that a loving God? Is that a kind God? Absolutely it is. It's a loving God and a just God because He's going to give us every opportunity we need to get right with Him. But God knows the heart of man. God knows if we're going to continue to reject. God will convict and bring that conviction on us to give everyone opportunities to be saved. But there comes a point when God knows the heart of man, and if it's evil continually and there's no repentance there, there's no plan for repentance there, God will give that person up. That's a terrifying thought. But God's going to give that person up. Romans 1 and verse 25 and 26 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and here's the second one, they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. People started worshiping themselves and other people and praising people more than they praised the Creator of the people. Instead of us praising God that made the stars, we want to pray to the stars. Instead of us praising God that made us and gave us life, we want to lift ourselves and exalt ourselves up and make ourselves to be something. We are nothing because we're the creation of God. Worship the Creator rather than the creation. It's not the beautiful bowl that when we see the work of some potter's hands and we see a beautiful bowl and we think, oh, how beautiful, magnificent that is. It's only beautiful and magnificent because the potter put himself into it and made it what it is. And that's the problem we have in the world today, is we worship the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, and here's what God's response is to that. He said, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. We're talking in those passages about homosexuality. He's saying men left the natural use for a woman and burned in their own lust one for another with other men. God gave them up. And what God does is God gives them up and God just allows them to continue down the path they're going because they choose to worship themselves and say, you know what? I know how God made me. I know what I'm supposed to be, but I'm choosing to be something else because I want to be. Keep this in mind. I'm not bashing somebody who says they're a homosexual or a lesbian or any of the other labels there are out there. But I'm saying this is one of the sins in Romans that God's talking about that people need to be careful of, that says God gave them up. Repent while there's time. Repent while the Spirit of God is dealing with the heart. Romans 1:28 says this, and even as they, and here's the next one, the third one, did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't want to even acknowledge God, act as if there's not even a God. I'm God, we're God, you're God. Anybody that wants to be a God can be a God. They didn't want to retain God to even be God in their own knowledge. God did, guess what God did? God gave them over to reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. There'll come a day for some folks that God will have done everything He's going to do, and He gives them up. That's a terrifying thought. But while we still have breath, while the conviction of the Spirit is still here and strong, and dealing with us, because the thing about salvation, the thing about getting right with God is this: we don't get saved on our terms and on our time. We get saved when we're drawn by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, you're not going to come to me unless my Father in heaven draw you. And you're not going to come to the Father but by me. So there's no way to get to the Father except through Jesus. There's no way to get to Jesus unless the Spirit draws you to Jesus. It all has to work together. We can't get saved when we want to get saved. We can't say, well, I'm going to raise my kids. I'm going to get my house paid off. I'm going to take care of my stuff. Then, God, I'm going to commit the rest of my life to you, and I'm really going to buckle down, and I'm really going to... No, you're not. No, you're not. Because we don't get saved on our time. We don't get right with God when we say we just want to. We don't schedule it on our calendar. We can only get right with God when the Spirit of God draws us. While He's drawing and while He's pleading and while He's calling, surrender to Him while there's time. How terrifying it must be. There are people, I believe, walking on the face of the earth today that God has gave up. Not that He gave up on them. He gave them every opportunity to be saved and to repent and get right with Him. But because of their circumstances and God knowing the depths of the heart, God said in Romans that He will give some up. Whew, that's scary. Let's jump back into Revelation. I just wanted to read those passages to keep us in mind of why these things are coming. It's not coming because God's a mean God. It's coming because there's justice that has to be served. It's coming because God has a plan of redemption. And this is the plan of redemption. This is the process that God's going to go through. And, you know, when we think, too, about the thousand-year millennial reign, I know Earl's getting ready to get fired up on that thing, you know, and I'm not stealing any of his thunder by what I'm about to say. Well, we're going to get in it, but not real big here. But, you know, Satan's been the prince and power of the air for several thousand years. It's time for Jesus to have his thousand years, isn't it? So some of these things have to take place, not only to fulfill prophecy and what God's plan is, but to establish who is God. These 7 years, listen, nobody, whether they accept him or reject him, everybody's going to know that it's God bringing the hammer down in that situation. There's going to be a lot of them reject him and take the mark of the beast and all those kind of, but God is the one that's dictating everything that's going to be happening during this tribulation period. Now let's look at this army that gets called up. Revelation 9, verse number 16 through 19 says this, "And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. Is that 200 million? I think that's what that is, isn't it? "And I heard, and thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire. Jacinth, is that how you say it? Jacinth? And brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouth." Now, here's where we need to keep in mind of what he's talking about here and how the judgment's going to come down from these. "Out of their mouths issued three different things: fire, smoke, brimstone. By these three," these are going to be the three things, "by these three things were the third part of men killed by fire, by smoke, and by brimstone, which issued out of their mouths." He actually repeated again backwards so that he could be reminded this is how they're going to die. It's something that's coming out of their mouth, fire, brimstone, and smoke that's going to be issuing from their mouths. The riders of these horses, and this is what's going to destroy them. "For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt." Now let's pause for just a second about this army. Is this, and there's the debate, there's a consideration, is it a human army? There's a lot of folks that believe it is, because it's 200 million back in, was it 1965, that China boasted that they had 200 million man army in like 1965. I still don't believe it's human. I just don't believe this is a human army. Now, I may be wrong, and I know there's a lot of folks that believe that it's a human army. Well, some say, well, it's helicopters with machine guns. Well, it may be. I don't know. I'm choosing to read it and believe it the way it's written, unless God explains it otherwise. And this is an army set aside. We do have an army that invades from the north, but that happens in Revelation chapter number 16. We're not there yet. Some people get this army confused with that army when the Euphrates River dries up and the armies from the north come down. That is not the 200 million army. This is a different event. This is prior to that happening. This is one of the trumpets. That is one of the vials that will be poured out. That's later. So don't confuse the scripture, and don't just take what somebody said. Don't just take what I say. Get in there and study and dig for yourself. But the reason I feel that this is an actual demonic army is because it's going to be killing men. He's not going to open up the Euphrates River and bring an army down from the north of men to come and kill men. Because this demonic army is set aside for this day, for this moment, to kill a third of the population of men. So it doesn't make sense to me to register that there's going to be 200 million strong human army that's going to wipe out a third of the population. Those that are on the earth of the population, that's a third of those are going to be killed by the... But we had prior to this, did we not have those locusts that had the stingers and they were going to torment, but they weren't going to kill. They didn't have they had the power to kill, but they were prevented from killing. Now we've got this group of of demonic beings on these horses and these horsemen that are going to be riding them. They're going to be coming out and killing with this smoke and fire and brimstone out of their mouths. He described them. We can surely, yeah, we sure can think this could be a metal machine in today's time that John saw, and he tried to describe it as looking like a serpent, you know, with a stinger, with a tail. I get that part, that he could have seen something, but it doesn't make sense for God to bring a 200-man human army to kill a third of the population. To me, that doesn't register. So if you have thoughts on that, you know, get with me later. We'll talk about it. It's going to be one or the other, though. It's going to be a demonic army of 200 million strong, led by these angels that are set aside for this day, or it is going to be a human army. I tend to believe that it's going to be demonic. And remember, fire, smoke, and brimstone are going to be the ways that they're going to bring this destruction. All right, the next part is the most disturbing part to me. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time there. There's not really a whole lot we can say. 200 million strong army, whether it's demonic or whether it's human, I believe to be demonic, they're going to kill a third of the population of men. Wow. So they're going to have time prior to that, the locusts, whatever these are going to look, you know, with this described, whatever they're actually going to appear to be, busting through your windows and stinging you. And you know, it's almost as if we're standing in a yellow jacket nest. We can't get out of it, but it's not going to kill us. We're just going to continue to get stung and stung and stung. We can't escape it. Then all of a sudden, they're going to be these horses and these riders that are going to come up out of the Euphrates River, and they're going to actually not just come in and sting. They're going to kill a third of the population. So this is unbelievable and unparalleled to anything that we've seen thus far. So all that happening, imagine those that are not going to die. If you're here, I know if we're Christians, we're not going to be here. If you were here, how would you view something like that? What would that cause you to do? Would it cause you to get on your knees and beg God to save you and to forgive you and to cleanse you? Is that not what it would make you do? I mean, when we see chaos as Christians, when we heard about the pandemic, what did we do as Christians? What did you do after you had your moment of panic? When we come back to our reality of our mind, what did we do? I'm going to say most Christians prayed, didn't they? I want to read some scripture to you. The next passage of scripture, Revelation 9, verse 20 and 21, it says this: "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works, of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." Thinking about these horses, these riders, and whatever they're actually going to be like, and how they're going to wipe out a lot of people and kill a lot of people, how devastating and amazing that sight's going to be. The most amazing sight to me is this: people are going to see that and they're still not going to repent. They're still not going to honor God. Wow. That's why these things are going to happen. Because the world is sick. The world is diseased. The world has a cancer within it, and it's called sin. And eventually, God's going to clean the cancer out. And this will be the process of how God does it. Going through chemo treatments, going through radiation, going through surgeries. Those things are painful to try to find healing at the end of it. There's going to be healing at the end of these 7 years. There's going to be restoration at the end of these 7 years. But this is thousands of years of sin that has built up, that God is going to take within 7 years and cleanse those things and get them out of here and restore this place to be what it needs to be.